Welcome to Community Conversations. These are pre-recorded interviews brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on KRFY. Because of ongoing concerns about the COVID pandemic, we are not able to be in the studio doing live broadcast interviews right now. But we are still dedicated to recording and bringing to you topics of local and current interest, highlighting voices from our community. For Community Conversations, we are using phones and web-based technology so that participants can be recorded remotely. Please bear with us if there are any gaps or hiccups that might be caused by a slow or unstable phone or internet connection. Also, keep in mind that because these interviews are recorded, information may change between the time of this recording and the time that you hear it broadcast. Thank you for joining us for today's Community Conversation on KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Community Conversations. I'm your host, Phil Huff, and today I'm alone without my co-host. Well, I have a guest in the studio, but Julie, unfortunately, couldn't be with us as we are recording this show the week prior, and she had other commitments. And so we're easing into Thanksgiving week here. It's the changing of the seasons. And with the changing of the seasons, quite often traditionally, Thanksgiving week is the week that the ski hill opens, Schweitzer, for those who are new to town. And so we try to do an early season ski report with Schweitzer. And today we have with us Dig Krismer, Marketing Director for Schweitzer Mountain Resorts. Good morning, Dig.
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Actually, I have to clarify, I didn't catch this. I'm actually not the director. I'm just the manager, but that's okay.
Got it. We just gave you a field promotion.
I got a field promotion. I like it.
In the military, they'd call that a brevet rank.
Sometimes I get referred to as the marketing maven rather than the manager. So that's okay. We could do that.
I think when you were interviewed on the television station from Spokane, I'm not sure if we're allowed to say which one, you came across very much as the marketing maven last week.
I'll take it.
Yeah. So tell for our listeners who might be new to town, give us a little background on just who you are. Who is Dig?
And how
did Dig get connected with skiing?
Well, these are great philosophical questions that I will try to answer. I've been at Schweitzer now. This is my 10th winter with Schweitzer. Had a background in skiing, kind of bounced around the West for a while, places in Colorado, Southern Idaho, Wyoming, then spent considerable chunk of time overseas and then moved to Sandpoint in 2011. And I've been with Schweitzer, moved here for the job with Schweitzer, which has been great. Absolutely love it here. We're pretty lucky that this is home. There's a lot of people who have moved into the community recently who are loving it as much as we have, all of us transplants. And it's just a great place. We really are ever so lucky that we get to call this place home.
So how did you find out about Schweitzer and Sandpoint if you were doing all this traveling? How did you come across it?
It was by accident, actually. I worked for Grand Targhee for a couple of years, and I had been pretty involved with some of the Idaho tourism things at the time. And so I was very good friends with the director of tourism for the state of Idaho. And when we were deciding to leave Europe and come back to the United States, I kind of reached out to her for some insight on places and suggestions, kind of with the intention of going maybe back towards Teton Valley in Southern Idaho. And she was like, nope, you need to check out Sandpoint and Schweitzer. And I was like, what, where? Never heard of it. Had never been here, had no idea that the northern part of the state even existed. Luckily at that time, there was a position in the lodging department here at the mountain, and applied from overseas. And luckily the previous lodging director took kindly to my resume and granted me an interview. And so we moved here sight unseen to this place. My favorite story is I get off the plane in Spokane and I will admit to crying that I had made a complete and utter mistake. I didn't see any mountains. I didn't see anything that remotely looked appealing for skiing. And I cried. But then things got better when I had the magical long bridge effect. And it was from that point on, it's just been amazing.
I was gonna say, I think that's one of the more interesting Long Bridge stories I've heard, and most people have theirs. And there you were staring straight up at your new employer.
I know. It was gorgeous. It was a September afternoon. The light was across the lake, and I could see the runs up in the distance. It was pretty magical, I have to say.
And have you ever looked back?
No, honestly, I have not. I mean, you know, this community, we are neat people. We're all pretty different, but at the base of it, I really think all of us, we're pretty genuine, and that's what's really nice. And I love seeing more and more people who move to the community who embrace that. That, you know, if you are who you are, and we respect each other and work as neighbors and friends, we'll continue to have an amazing community. And I really like that a lot.
Now, you have a job that, to the outside world at least, most people look go, wow, that's really sexy. That's great. I love to ski. I want to go up there and I want to move there to ski. And I can get a job doing that?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's not all like that.
No, every day is like that. Totally.
Okay.
Yeah, well, my kids make fun of me. So.
Walk us through a day in the life of Dig.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it can change. And I think that's the thing. You know, in my position, it's very fluid. Things are very different from day to day. Winter season, there's a lot more demand in terms of social media, snow reporting. We do all of our own in-house photography and video work. The commercials that you see on TV, we do those in-house. So there's a lot of demand in the winter season to make sure that we're up to date with content. You can never take enough photos. You can never write enough about your place of work. There's always something to happen. Things get a little, our schedule's kind of funny with marketing. You know, usually in season, there's a day-to-day element, but we kind of push 6 months ahead. So we're trying to work on projects for summer during winter and winter during summer. So that kind of keeps it a little, you know, forward thinking. A day in the life for me in the summer is a little bit calmer, but we are starting to see our summer season really build up as well. So that's taking on more, you know, more of an importance than it has maybe in the past, which is great. It's just, yeah, every day is different. Every day is different.
And I'm glad you brought up summer, because many people think of the ski hill as a wintertime only thing. And of course, as the destination, there's so much more going on in the mountain year round.
It's amazing. We had seen the growth in the last couple of summers, you know, last 5 years, definitely seen some growth. And honestly, a positive of the COVID situation is that I think people rediscovered that it's nice to go outside, and they like to be not necessarily just taking a walk by their home, but maybe being entertained by a walk on a mountain. So there was a lot of people who came up and explored Schweitzer who may not have done that before. And we've seen that happened this summer. You know, mountain biking exploded in the last several years as well. And my gosh, this summer with COVID, it was exponential. The number of mountain bikers that we saw on the mountain and on the lower basin trails, it was impressive. And I like it. I think it's great to see so many people out doing that.
So COVID, how did that change things this summer?
Well, COVID. you know, for us, I think we have to go back to the spring. I mean, COVID really shook us all in March. You know, having to close the mountain prematurely was not what we wanted to do. We felt it was in the best interest of the community. And what we had seen with some other resorts in other parts of Idaho, specifically Sun Valley, is that when other resorts were closing in Colorado and other places in the United States, we were seeing destination guests arrive in our centers and unfortunately bringing the virus with them. And Sun Valley really got hit hard in the spring. And it was a eye-opening experience for us that we had to be diligent in protecting our community and our employees as well. So closing early was hard, and we didn't really know what to expect going into summer. But again, I think a lot of people took advantage of the outside space, the fact that North Idaho is pretty remote geographically, and got out to play. So it was a really busy summer for us, really, really busy. So that was kind of an odd benefit.
Yeah, it seems so long ago. And of course, it was just at the end of the last season. I think I saw a report just in the last few days that the Northwest ski areas, and I think it was limited to Washington, Idaho, and maybe Oregon, mm-hmm. Lost an estimated $75 million in revenue due to early closures, which is tremendous.
It is tremendous. But we were really concerned going into summer season, not being able to have our group events. You know, Schweitzer has signature events in June, July, and August. 7B Sunday, our Northwest Wine Fest, and then our Fall Fest over Labor Day weekend. And we were very concerned about not being able to have those events. One, from a community standpoint, we didn't get to see our friends and neighbors like we like to. And two, from a financial standpoint, those are big weekends for us. You know, it definitely had an impact. It was mentally, it was a little hard, financially hard.
And I know. I personally go up every summer for a couple of those. And one of my favorites is the local 7B day.
Yeah.
I really missed doing that. Yeah. And yet the huckleberry picking wasn't bad. I won't say how bad or good. I don't want to encourage people.
Don't give away your spots. That's mushrooms. But don't tell anybody where they are. Yeah, exactly.
So, winter's almost here. When's the ski season going to open?
Well, we had our opening weekend sneak peek for our pass holders on the 21st and 22nd. And then we will be opening for daily operations on Friday, the 27th of November, which we're looking forward to. And the long range forecast is for La Nina this winter, which typically means big snow and cold weather, which for those of us that are skiing and snowboarding enthusiasts, that's the best news you could have asked for in 2020. So hopefully that forecast will come to fruition and we'll have a nice snowy winter and be able to really forget ourselves out in the powder.
So nothing on Thanksgiving Day.
No, Thanksgiving Day is really the only holiday at Schweitzer that we're closed, and our staff gets to be with those nearest and dearest to them, especially this year. I think that's pretty important to kind of hunker down and spend some time with those that are closest to you. And then we'll be up for full operations on Friday.
Now, I want to throw a question at you that we didn't talk about in advance, but I'm sure you can answer it.
Uh-oh.
I've seen a couple friends posting on Facebook lately about either before the mountains open, now that we have new snow on the ground, putting on their skins and skiing up and then skiing down. And they were legitimately trying to figure out what's allowed, what's not allowed. Can you, as a service for our listeners, tell us about that?
Absolutely. There is a no uphill travel policy at Schweitzer. And the reason people get frustrated with us for that, because they're like, why? But the reason we have that policy, especially this time of year, is we have equipment on the mountain that we're working to get in place, to groom, to move snow, to make snow. Patrol is out trying to get signs posted, and there's just a lot of activity happening on the mountain. And we really don't want people to get injured or hurt. So there is a no uphill policy on the mountain. And we would really, really like people to take that seriously. It's pretty important to understand the risks that are involved.
That's good information. That's good to know. So COVID continues, and we'd be remiss not to note that in our community, there has been a spike recently that has no signs of abating. How is that impacting your operations? How's that going to impact the way that the ski hill is going to run in the winter?
Well, our goal, and we've said this pretty much, you know, since we started talking about winter plans back this in the summer season, is that we want to get open and stay open. And in order to do that, we really need everyone in the community to do their part to stop the spread of the virus. That's why we will be, it's mandatory masks or face coverings when you're inside any building at Schweitzer. Maintain social distancing, stay with your bubble, use your cars, your locker room, find creative places on the mountain to have lunch, limit your time in a building, get in, get out, and do what you need to do, and then get back outside and go skiing. The thing that we really know that people need some normalcy right now. There's COVID fatigue, you know, struggling with different aspects that have really shifted our lives so much this year. We want some normalcy, but in order to go ski and to kind of forget about things, we need to be respectful of the role that we play in keeping everybody safe so that we can continue to do that. So it's a small gesture, put your face covering on when you go in a building, limit your time in the building, come on back outside, and just be flexible, be patient. There are some changes at the mountain. You'll see in the restaurants, we've spaced out tables. There's no bar service in taps. You need to sit down at a table and a wait person will come and take care of you. A lot of little subtle things that we're trying to do to mitigate the spread.
And I understand too, there's potential for some new food trucks to be coming up. And
yes, that's right. That's right. A great idea came through, and our events manager, Andre Bircher, worked really hard to get some food trucks that are going to be parked on the edge of the Gateway lot. So kind of like a ski in, ski out lunch option. Underneath the chairs. Yeah, I think that's great. And to that point, we're trying to find ways to be creative so that we can still have a ski experience that we love, that looks different, but still keeps us connected. And so the idea of like afternoon fire pits out in the village, maybe, or, you know, a snow après area so that we can kind of spread out outside and enjoy the ambiance. But again, you know, we just got to watch what's going on with COVID. We really, the last thing we want to do is contribute to the problem. And again, that takes every one of us taking this seriously.
Now, backing up, I don't think you mentioned, but I've heard that there may be some limitations on the number of season's passes issued or number of day passes issued.
That's correct. We had our season pass sale until October 31st, which gave us the number of people that we know have passes to the mountain. We didn't limit the number of season passes that we sold, but our goal is to give priority to our pass holders. So in order to do that, we did limit the number of day tickets that will be for sale on any given day of the season. So after the pass sale ended, we kind of went back and looked at historical data to figure out what room there was on any given day. You know, if we had a certain number of pass holders, how many more tickets can we kind of fit into that day? So those tickets have gone on sale. They're on sale on the website. You know, midweek days are going to be a lot easier to get a lift ticket than on a weekend or a holiday. And again, people can be creative to try and find some of those days that aren't so busy to come up and plan ahead. That's going to be another trick this winter. Unfortunately, you know, on a big powder morning, if you haven't bought your season pass or you haven't purchased a ticket for that day in question, you're not going to be able to buy a day ticket at the window. It is what it is this year. Again, it's a very unique situation. It's something we've talked about. It's a local winter. If you've got a pass, you've got a place to ski. And we really want to cater to that idea that this is our locals' mountain. It's our safe place to play. And they can ski any day that they want. So,
and how does this affect lessons?
That's a good question. We still will be offering beginner lessons, which is a musical chairs lift ticket. They'll have lessons and they can book those ahead of time. There are some day ofs, but again, it's always good to call and maybe check in and make a reservation ahead of time. For anyone wanting to take a more advanced lesson, we're really recommending that you call and make a reservation, book a private lesson either with you or other members of your bubble so that we can kind of keep everyone together. But you do need to have secured either your lift ticket or your season pass in order to have a private lesson or an advanced or intermediate lesson. Beginners, we can cover you with the musical chairs ticket, but anything above and beyond that, make sure you have that ticket secured.
I know the next question, some of these are going to be a bit farther in the future, but how does this, what's the potential outlook for events during the winter season?
That is a great question. At this point, we've talked about still wanting to have our fireworks shows over President's Weekend and MLK Weekend, and we'd like to go forward with that. I think, again, it's kind of a plan and wait and see. You know, depending on what the situation is with COVID in our community, we really don't want to be infecting people, and we don't want our staff to get sick. We don't want our guests to get sick. So it's up in the air, honestly. A lot of those things are really up in the air.
And events present such a huge complicated matter, both from the logistics as well as regulatory impact. With the recent rollback in the state of Idaho to stage 2, there are restrictions in place to
absolutely
take into account.
Absolutely. And we respect those, and we need to. That's the responsible thing to do.
Now, La Nina, let's talk a little more about snow forecast.
Yes.
What does that really mean? I think the last big double back-to-back La Nina year was the winter of 2007-8 and 8-9, and combined those two just created so much snow, and my snowblower went on the fritz, and I had shoveled 12 feet of snow in my driveway, literally.
Yes, I love that.
You remember.
For us, actually, we were looking at the data, and I think what we determined was it was the winter of 10-11 was actually a really strong La Nina year for us. And that year, I keep telling this to everyone because I don't know if they get it, but there was 171 inches of snow still on the summit when we closed in April. And I mean, like, that's just phenomenal. Like, let me do math. I can't do math, but that's a lot. Like, that's a lot of snow. And so if that's the case, it's going to be fantastic. And having the opportunity to get out and enjoy that cold, snowy, and long. So a good North Idaho winter like we like.
So. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. And I know you'll be doing the snow dance on Zoom if it fails to materialize by mid-December. Well, let's talk a little bit about the way that Schweitzer gives back to the community. And that's an open-ended question. I've got a few specific questions to follow up on that, but maybe you can just describe to us the general philosophy and approach.
Well, it's pretty easy. We live here and we are part of this community, and we want to make sure that we are a good neighbor, and that's really important to us. A lot of the members of our staff, our employees, are involved in a variety of organizations. They serve on boards, they volunteer. So all of those pieces are pretty critical, because there's a personal investment from those of us that work at Schweitzer. And you know, we have a really awesome donations committee. So any organization that's interested in receiving a donation from Schweitzer, they can fill out the online form. It's at the bottom of the website. Fill out that form and ask. You know, we typically like to give, you know, a donation a year to an organization that asks, and reach out and see what's possible, because it really does make a difference, and we realize the role that we play in the community. So it's kind of a funny one, Phil, because, you know, how do you talk about being charitable? It just is. It just should be. And mm-hmm. So that's why we have that. So
Schweitzer is certainly a very highly valued community partner to so many organizations.
Yeah, I think so.
I think, as I recall right, sometimes in early January, Ski Free Days.
Well, we've got, so we will usually have the Community Day, which is our big fundraising for Community Cancer Services and Bonner Partners in Care. That's a big day. We've done $10 lift tickets in the past. I believe that is on the calendar at this point, but again, we need to watch and see what happens with COVID and, you know, again, that question of being flexible. So at this point, we still would like to have that day. We just need to watch and see what's possible. The Ski Free Friday that happens with Toyota, that is still on the calendar as well. And both of those, I believe the Ski Free Friday is in January. I can double check for you as I'm chit-chatting with you on the calendar, so you know. But yeah, again, events are different this year. There's definitely a lot of fluid happening. So the Toyota Ski Free Friday is January 22nd.
Okay, mark your calendars if all goes well. January 22nd, exactly. Ski Free Friday, Toyota.
If you have a Toyota, yeah. Or Scion, you can drive your car and get a free lift ticket.
And in the past, the mountain's been host to some special programs. The sixth grade Learn to Ski program, is that still on?
So we work with Ski Idaho to do the Idaho Passport program, which is good for fifth and sixth graders. They can ski for free at any of the resorts in Idaho. They pay like $16 and they have then access to all of the resorts. There is a link to that on our website, or anyone who's interested can go to the Ski Idaho website for those details. We are still working on our school programs with the different schools in town to make sure that they can still get up and do their ski lessons this winter. I know the middle school program last year was the inaugural year, which was phenomenal. I just love everything we've done with that program. Adam Tajan at the middle school is fantastic, and I kudos to him for making that happen. And they're going to be starting their second year with that program this year, and I'm thrilled. It's fantastic.
Okay.
It'd be nice to see those kids out on the mountain. I think they need it too.
and in that same age range, I believe Schweitzer's partnered on the winter snow schools.
Sorry, I didn't hear you on that.
Has partnered, I think, probably with Seoul on the winter snow schools.
Yes, so that's actually a project Seoul's done on kind of on their own with the different schools. And yeah. Seoul has their yurt that's down at the fire station where they do those winter education classes. Mm-hmm. And I believe that their intention is to do those again this winter, but I haven't heard 100%.
Thank you. And the last specific partner program that I want to ask about is the work that the mountain does with the Panhandle Avalanche Center.
Yeah, the IPAC is a very important organization in our region, especially this year for going into a La Nina winter where we could get a lot of snow. I know that they're currently in their big fundraising drive right now, and IPAC really does depend on the support of the community. So if you take advantage of, you know, their backcountry reports, you watch their videos, you go to any of their avalanche trainings or the pit chats that they offered last year, supporting them would be phenomenal. I'm not sure, I haven't had a chance to chat with Jeff Thompson in detail about what they're gonna do for those pit chats and trainings this year, but hopefully there'll be some variation on that this winter going forward. It's so important, so important.
And the information that they keep abreast on their website is so valuable, especially in a La Nina year for folks who might want to venture out into the backcountry, getting current snow conditions when there's layer upon layer of alternating wet, dry, heavy, light snow.
Exactly.
We've talked a lot with a focus on the downhill, but let's not forget, for especially those listeners who may be new to town, there are some wonderful Nordic trails and snowshoeing opportunities on the ski hill. Tell us about those.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have 32 kilometers of cross-country trails for Skate and Classic. We're going to be opening those trails as we get more snow, so continue to check the snow report page on Schweitzer.com for the latest details on the Nordic system. Snowshoeing, fat biking, they're welcome as well. We also do hosted snowshoe hikes that during the days, and also sometimes depending on the time of the month, they have the full moon snowshoe hikes as well. We'll have the information about that is also on our website. And if there's any changes or things that need to be different because of COVID, that information will be updated as well. But that's a great way to explore the quiet side of the mountain up here. It's absolutely, the cross-country trails, I tell you, they are just spectacular. The views that you get back over Lake Pendere and the mountain, it's really just a beautiful spot.
It is. There's some stunning, stunning views from there.
You can socially distance out there like a champ. Yeah.
I was about to say, as someone who prefers the Nordic skiing to the downhill, and part of my preference is there's fewer people, it's a naturally socially distancing opportunity.
You know, it's so funny. Sometimes, like, I've gone out there days that are like kind of in terms of the weather, because we do have days with weather. But get into your cross-country skis or your snowshoes and head out, and you're in the forest off the trails. It's a whole nother world, and it's just beautiful. Highly recommend people check it out for sure. Yeah.
So I want to shift a little to a few things in which Schweitzer's been a leader in, really building a sustainability program.
This is amazing. This is amazing.
Tell us about that, because those are big words and can mean a lot of things, but give us the details.
Well, I'm really proud of our sustainability committee that's really been putting in a lot of hard work in the last couple of years to get us on the right path. You know, this is our playground. This is our home. This is our special space. And if we don't take care of it, it's not going to be here. So they've done a lot of work partnering with different people to make those efforts that we need to. And a couple of examples, we've partnered with NSAA Sustainable Slopes Initiative, working on different badges that we can earn and understand what we can do better as a resort to be a good steward for climate advocacy. And we did get awarded a climate advocacy and climate change badge, which is great. And then we've also partnered with Resource Synergy, a company out of Spokane, to help us find the places in our operation where we can make changes that are going to have a long-lasting effect. So this past fall, for example, we replaced all of the lighting in the mill building and in the Lakeview and down at the vehicle shop with the LED lights that are saving energy, and they're going to last like 26 years, and they've got motion sensors so they turn off when no one's in the building. Just small things like that to save some energy. Their future project, we were talking with them not too long ago, really want to work on understanding how we can heat our buildings more efficiently. A lot of our older appliances are coming near the end of their lives. So how can we replace them with more efficient units and really make some changes in those arenas? So pretty exciting, actually. It doesn't sound very, you know, but it is a pretty exciting thing to be a part of.
Schweitzer in general seems to be an evolving concept, if you will. It seems like every year there's something new.
Yeah.
Tell us what's new this year, and what do you see new going into the future, and how that all fits into the comprehensive master plan?
New this winter, I think for us, new this winter is just getting back out onto the mountain and finishing our enjoyment of the new areas that we opened last year. We with the Cedar Park Express and the Colburn Triple. I personally felt like my season was cut short and I didn't get enough time to ski and play back there. So that's going to be great. We did do some additional brush cutting and logging over off of Stella down towards Phineas Forest. And that should be great to get in and explore over there as well, because a lot of that was really getting choked out with, standing dead trees and alder. And so getting in and cleaning that up is going to change the experience over there. So that's great. We're still working on the hotel project in the village. Again, COVID kind of set us back in terms of, from a logistics standpoint, supply and demand, construction materials, it was challenging to get a hold of that. And just threw another wrench into that plan. So we've kind of slowed down that. The hotel, we finished the concrete work. So it's kind of buttoned up now for winter, and hopefully we'll be able to get back at it to finish out the build next year. That'll be great. Overall, the master plan, we're still pretty excited about it. There's still lots of good stuff coming, and we're in a good spot. And Schweitzer, I'm very proud of us in the sense that we don't want to grow to become something that we're not. The growth in the region is happening organically. So what we want to do is just make sure that we're improving, and the experience that we're giving our pass holders and our Schweitzer friends and fans is a good one. And that's where our focus is. How do we make the experience better without, bigger isn't necessarily the answer. We want it to be better. So what do we need to be doing? Those sustainability efforts is one. How can we improve on our parking? How can we improve on the services that we offer? Really looking at the overall operation to see what we can do better.
So we do get a lot of new listeners, and there are a lot of new visitors in town who probably have bought their season pass or come up for the very first time. Two or three words of advice to a first timer on the mountain. What do they do?
Words of advice. Before you come up, read the website, get as much information as you can, kind of have an idea of where you're headed, chit chat with your neighbors and friends who are familiar with the mountain to get them to give you their inside tips and tricks. This winter, it's going to be a little unique, obviously, because things are different. The shuttle is still a great resource if you want to ride the spot bus up to the mountain. I know some people aren't going to be comfortable with that this year because of COVID, which makes sense. So there's an option. If you want to take the shuttle, take the shuttle. If you want to drive to the mountain. Again, have some flexibility that parking. We know that we're limited in parking, so it may be a challenge for people. And then when you get to the village, just get oriented with where you're headed. Check out the trail map. And make sure you have a good idea of what you're going to do. If you haven't secured your rentals for this season, it might be a good idea to get season rentals through some of the shops in town. The Alpine Shop, for example, has a great season-long rental program so that you've got your gear ready to go. We do have rentals here at the mountain, but that can be limited, and there's some days that we do sell out. So just kind of have a plan on what you're going to do with your equipment. And just come explore. Just be ready to experience the mountain and the people. And again, it's going to be a very different winter than we're used to, but hopefully we should recognize a lot of our friends from 6 feet across and wave at them in the lift line as we go. We're just excited to have everybody up here. We're so lucky. Again, I can't stop stressing that. We're just so lucky. And to be able to go skiing this winter is amazing. And we want it to continue. So just enjoy it, make the best of it, and be a good neighbor. So
that sounds like a great note to end on. Unless there's anything else that you wanted to say today that I haven't asked you, any final words before we go?
No, just that I'm ready to go skiing.
ready to go skiing.
Every day.
Looking outside, I think we all are. Well, that's Dig Krizmar, Marketing Manager at Schweitzer Mountain. Thank you for joining us today, Dig.
My pleasure.
We appreciate you as always coming on. You're a great guest. And if you have any updates in the future that you'd like to convey during the season, give us a ring and we'll get you on the air. This has been another edition of Community Conversations. We are recording these shows for replay during this time of COVID, since the broadcast studio is on hiatus. So it's always best to double check information, although we're recording this one pretty close to the air date. So not a whole lot will change probably for the season. Thank you for listening to KRFY 88.5 FM.